This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek. I'm coming to you live from the Tri-Circle D Ranch at Fort Wilderness Resort in Disney World, Orlando, Florida.
And I'm Dr. Wendy Ying, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 30th. This is episode 1267. This episode is brought to you by Ovation Riding Gear. Ovation is the premier brand of riding apparel and equipment for you and your horse in the United States. Good morning, horse world.
For your safety, remain seated with the doors closed, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside while the tram is moving.
We're going to Disney World!
Yeah! Well, good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us on International Podcast Day. We're so excited to be coming to you from Disney World today.
Yay! Disney World.
We're so excited to be here. We've been here a whole day. We're going to tell you all about it. We had so much fun yesterday. Jamie is not here. She is still in Arizona. So Dr. Wendy Ying is filling in.
Yay. Thank you for having me.
And Dr. Wendy, of course, is host of the Driving Radio Show and fills in here on Horses in the Morning on occasion. And we're so glad you came up, you and Kyle,
yes,
yesterday.
Thank you so much. And thanks, Jamie, for letting me come to Disney.
Oh, she was pissed. She was mad I didn't buy her ticket from Arizona. So,
well, you got to go to Disneyland.
Yeah, we still love you, Jamie. It is International Podcast Day. And what that is it's just a celebration of what we do here every day, and that's podcasting. And of course, the Horse Radio Network is now in one of the top five podcast networks in the world. And we have 130,000 listeners to the Horse Radio Network. We would like you to help us make it 1 million. We figure we can get 1 million horse people listening to our shows with your help. So if you get a chance today, get onto Facebook, Twitter, I don't care where. What are some of the others I don't use? Social media, whatever social media you use. Get on
Google
there.
Google Plus.
I don't care where.
Pinterest.
Yeah, post our picture. Maybe, no, that probably wouldn't help. Post us everywhere. Tell people you listen to podcasts and post a link to Horse Radio Network. We'd really appreciate your help. Let's get it to 1 million horse people listening. Let's become the number one podcasting network in the world.
Yeah.
Horses. We're in the top five. That's unbelievable to begin with. We have a couple of special guests that are going to join us today, and we're going to be doing a lot of different things today. We're going to be talking about the wonderful day they had for us yesterday here at Tri-Circle D Ranch at Fort Wilderness Campground. We got to do a lot of fun things and meet a lot of cool people and horses. We're going to tell you about that. And then what I'm most excited about, Wendy and I are really history nuts. And we're going to talk about Walt Disney and the history of Walt Disney and horses, because he was a big horse guy. And we're going to talk about that. And we got to hear so much about that yesterday. And joining us today, we have Robin, who is the zoological manager for the ranch here at Fort Wilderness Campground. Hi, Robin.
Hi, how are you today?
Good. So good to have, it's good to have you on the show, and thank you for having us here. We appreciate it.
Well, we're very excited to have you here.
And Robin is like a wealth of knowledge when it comes to Walt and his horses, and we're going to learn about that a little bit later. And then helping us out on our carriage ride yesterday and filling us in on all things Disney horse, which was a magical experience, by the way, is Carrie. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you doing?
Now, we determined Carrie is the little boss. That's what we called her. She's actually the senior ranch hand here at the farm. So good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
I got to tell you, we had a great time yesterday. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first, I have a daily Winnie that I have to do right at the top of the show, or Wendy and I are going to be in big trouble. So. Well, my daily Winnie today goes out to our friend David Saunders, who Robin knows and Carrie knows. David was here over Christmas driving the Cinderella carriage. What was his official name? Does it have an official name? It's a Cinderella carriage. That's what I called it.
Cinderella's golden coach.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He had brought
Gloria's beautiful Andalusian horses.
Yeah, he had brought the PRE Spanish horses in and drove them through the park, and apparently they did great.
They did an amazing job. Yeah.
And David looked really official in his little outfit.
He looked great. You know, he looked like he was born to do it.
He was, actually. He really was, actually.
That's right. Yeah. You know, warming up with the queen.
Yeah.
And then he got to come here to our realm.
You kind of do warm up at the queen to end up with Mickey. I mean, yeah.
Cinderella.
That's right. It's perfect. Well, we want to thank David Saunders because he helped get this set up from being here over Christmas. We also have to give a very special thank you to Lee Cockerell, who is the past ex-vice president of Disney, and I've met and spent some time with now. He's also a podcaster, and seeing it's International Podcast Day, I want to give a shout out to his show. He has a show called Creating Disney Magic, and he it's a great show. I've been listening to it, getting caught up in all the past episodes. He talks about leadership and management and some of the things he learned in helping run the Disney Corporation here. So his son now, actually, talk about a family business. His son, as I understand it now, is vice president of Magic Kingdom.
He is. Yeah. He is. And he's a great friend and loves coming out here to the ranch, spends time with us, and he'll be spending a lot more time with our horses on Main Street. So we're very excited
about
that.
Lee was telling me that that family, they love horses, the Cockerell family. So so I think it's great that he's now over there at Magic Kingdom as well. Well, you guys, let's talk a little bit about our fabulous day here yesterday. We got here and it was a rainy on and off day here, like it's been all summer in Florida. We've just had terrible rains all year, and you're very wet here from the rains. But we had a great time. You guys took us out on a private trail ride. Yes, everybody, I actually rode a horse.
Yes. We were so proud of you, Glenn.
Kyle rode a horse. See, Kyle doesn't do that too often. He
Dr.
got on
Kyle
a horse.
Got to ride a magical horse.
He did. Tell us about Kyle's horse.
He got to ride Maximus, who is Rapunzel's horse.
That's right.
He got to ride the princess's horse. He was special.
And he was. I wanted to take that horse home. That's a nice horse.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. We do have a lot of Disney celebrities that have other roles here besides their roles carrying the princesses.
We had a wonderful time. We took a trail ride through, and the trail rides here, and our listeners didn't realize, one, that Disney had horses, you know, and then two, that you have horses that people can ride. And I think that's kind of almost, it's not talked about a lot, so it's kind of a hidden secret, right? But yes, you can do that here.
Exactly. We don't want it to be a secret. Right. So right. We want people to come and enjoy a trail ride here and get a chance to meet our horses. You know, it's part of the theming here at Fort Wilderness to go out in the earliest mode of transportation, horseback.
And your trails are so beautiful. You know, it's like it was shady and nice, and we saw deer on the way.
Yeah, we saw Disney deer. Thank you for bringing them out for
You're
us.
You're very welcome.
We appreciate
it. Please.
Yeah. We saw Bambi, too, was
a little
here.
Disney magic.
Yeah, a little tiny Disney deer.
Yeah.
They were so adorable. Cute. Actually, we saw deer a lot here yesterday. You have a lot of deer to get ground.
We do. We have a couple of herds that it's really fun to watch them when they have their fawns and you see them grow up. And
by the way, the magical Disney horses that you use for the trail rides did not spook at the deer like my pony would have. I would have been bolting down the lane because he would have just freaked out. So congratulations for having very well trained Disney horses. We were really impressed with a couple of things when we took our trail ride. One, your guides. We have to give them a shout out. Gail and Meredith were our guides, and they were so much fun.
Well, you know, getting to do what we do here, working with horses, it's a dream for all of us. But getting to do it here at Disney World is amazing. You know, we work with the happiest horses on earth, and to share those experiences with our guests, it's just so much fun. And you can tell our cast absolutely love doing what they're doing.
Oh, they do. And, you know, it must be really cool for them because I'm a people person, and boy, did I get to meet some interesting people, I'm sure, on the rides and just get, to, you know, and little kids that are so excited.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Oh, they were talking about the little kids.
They're just so excited to ride a horse. They've, been horse fans all their life and never seen one before.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, yesterday when you all had the opportunity to do some of the different things here, there was a little girl that saw one of the horses walk by and she goes, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, that is amazing. Is that my horse? Is that the horse I'm going to get to interact with? And so we're very lucky mm-hmm. that we get to do what we do.
Now, most of them were quarter horses or ranch horses of some sort. However, Kyle's horse was a half percher on half
quarter horse,
I think. And there were a couple horses here I really wanted to just put in the trailer and take home. There are some lovely horses here.
Well, thank you very much. We're very proud of them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like JB, the horse that you drove yesterday?
Oh, on the carriage.
Yes.
He's an amazing animal.
Really beautiful. Just beautiful.
He's gorgeous.
I posted lots of pictures of him yesterday.
Well, we did that. We did the trail ride, and we had a great time doing that. And yes, everybody,
they're potty trained.
Oh, yes. Okay. This is something we have to talk about. This has never happened on a trail ride before that I know about, that we've ever experienced. Tell everybody about it.
Oh, well, when you finish the trail ride, right before you go in, you have to stop. And I guess you used to have a gate, so they would wait there. But the gate's open now. But even still, they all decide they have to take a little pee in their area before they go back to the barn. So less cleaning for you guys. So
exactly.
That is magic right
exactly.
there.
If I can train. Together as a group.
Yeah,
they all peed at the same time. I've never seen
that. And we do that with our carriage horses
as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah. They also go on the grass.
Those are some trained horses right there.
That is Disney magic right there.
Yeah, you need to figure that out. Yeah. You can sell that.
Yeah. And our wedding ponies as well that do our weddings over at the Grand Floridian, they also have their potty time.
Yeah.
So when we're delivering the bride to the wedding pavilion, we don't have to worry about any kind of little accidents, you know, where they stop right in the middle.
Right. I didn't think
of that. Oh, that's so cool.
And non-horse people, the smell of horse pee is really offensive.
Very offensive.
People. Yeah.
So yeah.
But we're all horse people.
Yeah, we're all horse people, and we're just fascinated that they do that. So, on command.
Oh, yeah.
I've never gotten any of our horses trained for that.
Yeah. Well, you need to work on that.
Then we have, after we did the trail ride, there's two different barns here. You have the barn that's the trail ride barn that's at really what's the front of the campground, Fort Wilderness Campground. And then at the backside or at the far end, what's that area called again?
It's our settlement area.
Your settlement area, It's where the boat launches are and where the Hoop-De-Doo Review is and the restaurant.
General store.
Where you catch the carriage rides,
wagon rides.
Yep.
And so it got this campground is huge. I mean, it's huge. And we go back there and you introduced us to all the draft horses and all the little ponies. And it was so cool back there. You have the most beautiful barn, by the way. Oh. The stalls are great. Somebody was asking how big the stalls are. They're big. They're big stalls. And they're bedded I'd hate to be the one cleaning those stalls because they're bedded like a foot deep. But it's just the cleanest barn. And most of our listeners that are listening right now would die to have that barn. Mm-hmm. Overhead fans and other fans everywhere, and then you had those two great big fans. I mean, it was really nice in there.
And the calliope's in the barn.
Oh, yeah. Tell us about the calliope.
Well, the calliope is a piece of our history, certainly. Mm-hmm. You know, Walt purchased it when Disneyland opened in 1955, part of Disneyland, they actually had a big top circus there, and it was part of the opening, and it was over behind Fantasyland, and it was a big part of Disneyland for about 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the Calliope was one of a series of circus vehicles that were purchased mm-hmm. for that particular event. And that's the only one that's still in our collection today, mm-hmm. and it dates to 1907, so it actually was built in Europe, brought here to the United States and used in circuses.
Right.
And we're very lucky to have it in our collection. We've restored it.
It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. I'm so glad you have it on display right there in the barn so everybody can see that.
Because we don't get an opportunity to hook it very mm-hmm. often. You know, we do try to hook it and bring it into the Magic Kingdom.
Right.
And periodically we will take it. We get invited to different events from the local community and we will take it out.
Oh, that must be a experience.
It is.
Shipping that to your location.
It is. We have a large semi that, you know, and it's a huge team that has to go out and do it.
Right.
And we'll hook anywhere from 4 to 8 mm-hmm. percherons to do that. So it's pretty impressive when you get the opportunity to see it. And mm-hmm. when we get the opportunity to hook it in the Magic Kingdom, it's just bringing out that little piece of history, certainly.
Yeah, it's really cool. How many horses are here total?
Well, at any given time, we have anywhere between 89 and 100 horses and ponies that work here at Walt Disney World, doing everything from, like you said, the trail rides mm-hmm. to pony rides to fairy tale weddings, and then, of course, working on Main Street in the Magic Kingdom.
And the little tiny white ponies, they're used for Cinderella's carriage?
They are. They're used to pull Cinderella. They're her official ponies.
And you hook up eight for that, right?
Six.
Six, okay.
We hook six to do that. But when they're not, when Cinderella isn't using them, then we do use them for fairy tale weddings because every girl deserves to be married. Mm-hmm. Like
oh, and they are so cute.
Yeah, I think
certainly.
That's really wonderful.
And then the other thing that we do that I find just so touching is that we use some of them for pony rides. So the little children, little cowboys and cowgirls, not mm-hmm. only get to ride Mickey's horses and ponies, mm-hmm. they get a chance to ride Cinderella's as well.
Oh, that's really cool.
So, that's so nice of her to share her ponies
it is.
With
She's,
the world.
Now, I'm a Percheron guy. I've owned several Percherons, big Percherons, and I noticed that a lot, most of your drafts, which you use to pull the trolley in Magic Kingdom, and then also the carriages and different things that you had, the hay rides and all the things you have going on here, was there a reason that you liked Percherons rather than Belgians or Clydesdales? You have a little bit of everything, but I noticed predominantly Percherons.
Yeah, I would think the Percheron is more of our signature horse. Everybody thinks of the Clydesdale, they think of the Budweiser horse, mm-hmm. and I think with the black Percherons, that just it makes such a statement when they are hooked up, and you know, and they're so high stepping and very mm-hmm. prestigious, and they're our favorites, I think, also.
Well, we're with you on that.
Yeah,
by the way.
I mean, I just love the black Percheron,
and it does tie in with the whole circus originally.
Well, and a lot of people don't realize that in the early 1900s, there's more Belgians in this country right now than Percherons, but in the early 1900s, the Percherons were the predominant breed when they were used for transportation and hauling the milk carts, and you know, they were the pickup trucks. It was mostly Percherons and less Belgians, and then that kind of switched after World War II. We lost a lot of those draft horses in World War II, and then it all kind of switched after that. Yeah. Well, that's neat. Of course, I'm all in favor of that.
Yeah, we are too. We love them.
A little later in the show, we're going to tell you about one of the favorite horses we met last night. Aww. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. So we have the carriage rides you do here. We have the trail rides. We have the weddings that you do. We have Main Street, of course. And, you know, Main Street trolley dates back to the first original Disneyland opening in the 50s too, right?
Exactly, yeah. The Main Street vehicles or the trolleys were opening day at Disneyland in 1955, and they've been continually running at Disneyland and here at Disney World ever since. It was very important for Walt, you know, when he built Disneyland, that Main Street was supposed to kind of capture that one moment in history where automobiles were being introduced, but horse-drawn vehicles were still very prevalent in mm-hmm. our history. And, you know, it was some point in history that he really remembered, and it was something that was comforting to him, and it was important to him to see those horses. And besides the trolleys, when Disneyland opened, there was also a horse-drawn fire wagon. There were many more horse-drawn vehicles mm-hmm. originally.
Yeah, because they kind of had the circus thing. You kind of had a circus parade going on with the different wagons and things.
Yeah,
yeah,
they did originally.
Yeah, yeah, way,
you know,
way
like
back.
I said, that
yeah.
lasted for about 2 years. But then, you know, as our as more and more people come to visit now, it's very hard to have right. a lot of those vehicles going up and down
the
streets.
But back in the 50s, I'm sure people of that era, you know, what they remembered as Main Street was the clippity-clop of horses and having the horse-drawn vehicles in town. So I'm sure that brought back lots of memories for people moving out of the country and, you know, back into the city.
Yeah, definitely.
It's so nice to bring that in.
Now, Walt was a horse guy, too. He played polo.
He did. He did. He played polo. You know, he loved horses. He grew up with them, certainly. You know, they were working horses, mm-hmm. but they were part of his life.
Kansas? Was it? Am I remembering
Missouri?
Right? Missouri. Okay.
Missouri. And he got involved in polo in the 1930s. You know, mm-hmm. you have to remember that, you know, at that time in Hollywood, polo was right. the in thing to do. Many celebrities, you know, were playing and mm-hmm. were part of those polo clubs. So he did play for several years.
There's pictures of him in the museum. Right. Yeah.
He even had a string of polo ponies. Mm-hmm. So he did play for a short time there. And it was a very important part of his life. You know, even right. at his home, he had the horse dummy that he could get on and practice his shots really? And things like that. So, fun. Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool. And now you have horses at a number of the parks around the world, right? It's just not here. They're also at Disneyland. We got to take the tour of the barns there at Disneyland. But that France has them?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the only other park that has them?
No, all of them do have
oh, they
a
do.
Horse
okay.
presence, yeah.
Okay. Yep. So that's kind of neat that was able to happen across around the world. Now, we've had a lot of questions, and we're going to go into more about the history with Walt because it's so fascinating, but I want to get some of the listener questions in here as we go along, too, because we had about 100 of them, but we're going to have to pick a few. Do they have a preferred? Do you have a preferred breed for the riding horses? They all seem to be kind of quarter horse, ranch horse types.
Yeah, I prefer the quarter horse. Yeah. Like when we're going out looking for horses and stuff, you know, the purchase for our operation, I kind of look for that type of animal, the quarter horse myself. I mean, not that we wouldn't look at another breed, but they seem to be actually the most consistent.
Right.
And we like geldings.
I'm
you
with
know,
you there.
In our operation of trail
there's a lot
rides.
Of our listeners that are real with you there.
Yeah. So, yeah, we find that quarter horses seem to be, you know, they get along pretty well mm-hmm. with our program and our guests.
And you had some very nice horses. I mean, they're so well cared for.
Oh, yeah.
Tell you, these horses are well-fed, people. Look at our pictures. These are well-fed horses. And, you know, that leads to one of the other questions is where did they get turned out? And, yes, you have big paddocks
big
out
paddocks,
here.
We turn them out in, and they have days off. They'll work 2 days on, 1 day off.
Okay, I want that schedule.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, when we always tell our guests, too, when we're given our safety spiel before we leave, mm-hmm. we'll say, now make sure we're on the trail. Don't let these guys do any eating on the trail.
Oh, mine was eating. Jack Frost was eating, let me tell you. He was, every time we'd go by a tree, he'd grab a bite.
He would grab those, yes. He'd grab those leaves, and we'd say, look, they're not on the Disney dining plan. Just look at them. They look great, you know?
Yeah, they don't need extra
vittles. They don't need the extra groceries, no.
And they're super clean.
Oh, yeah. That was the thing. You know, when I rub my pony, my hands are black when I'm done. And there were no black after horses get like bathed a lot.
They get groomed, they get haircuts, mm-hmm. We do tails, manes, we make sure that they don't have the excessive whiskers, and depending on the breed of the horse, like we do have some draft horse crosses up there, so we do leave the feathers on,
right.
But other than that, we'll give them a profile cut, and we clean up the legs, and we do a lot of that too, so when the guests take their photos of their horse, mm-hmm. they have that really clean right. Disney show exceptional right. look to them that, you know, that we want to.
Oh, and let me tell you, this is the cleanest trail ride string of horses I have ever seen.
Yes.
And we've been on a lot of trail rides and they have never been this clean.
Yeah, your white horses are white.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know?
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Especially in the, you know, right now in our rainy season in Florida, it's tough, especially if you had ones with feathers.
Yes.
They all look great. They look super.
And Doctor, you know, for new listeners to the show that haven't heard Wendy before, Wendy's a veterinarian. And of course, the first thing she looks at is the care of the horses. And and it's tough to impress Wendy, but she was pretty impressed.
We were
very impressed by
excellent.
The whole thing. So, mm-hmm. yeah. So good for you on that.
Excellent.
And you know what came through yesterday? We say this, and we've talked about this for 8 years on the show. Every barn, when you walk into any barn, whether it's a personal barn, a competitor's barn, every barn has a feel. And if you're experienced in the horse world, you walk in a barn, Carrie, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
You walk in a barn, it has a feel. Whether there's stress there, there's tension, or it's a happy barn, every barn has a feel. And when we walked in your barns, it was just, you know, it really felt happy. There was no stress in those barns. That's what we saw. And of course,
you know,
Dr. Ying talks about it from the Chinese medicine point of view.
So I deal with like ulcers is one of my number one things. And of course, in Florida, bad skin, you know, skin allergies. And, you know, we walk in there. It's really clean. The horse is looking great. And nobody had any skin issues, which is almost impossible to do in Florida. So good for you guys for doing that. But keeping their stress level down is really important too. And their attitudes were all so happy.
And they rest. Yeah. They rest during the day. I mean, we've had guests come back to us and they'll get our attention and say, do you know that Chief is laying down? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And we'll say, yeah, he's sleeping. Right. He's just hanging out. And, you know, he doesn't feel the stress that he's got to be afraid that everybody's in the barn.
Or doesn't know what's coming next.
Exactly.
Like Jennifer was saying, that horses really do love routine.
Yeah.
And you have like a nice routine. They know where they're supposed to be. And they do their job.
Yes.
And so they're happy doing it.
And the guests are cute when they come in. You know, those horses will be laying down sleeping, and some of them are known snorers.
Oh, really?
You can
hear them all the way down the barn.
When I leave at night and lock the barn up, some of them are still sleeping, starting to go to sleep, and they're snoring away.
Right.
And I just want to give a shout out to our cast. You know, when you're talking about how well cared the horses are and how clean they are, you know, we have a great crew that work here. We have about 35 cast members that are dedicated specifically to the care of these animals. Oh, wow. And they're here because they want to be here. Mm-hmm. It's not only that they, you know, love these horses, they love Disney. You know, you just got, you know, so many reasons to be able to do what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these horses, it's so unique because they're owned by a company, you know, by Walt Disney World, but these horses are very loved. You know, we're in the barn all the time. We know these horses. We know their personalities. Mm-hmm. The cast members all have their favorite horses and know personalities. Yep. And, you know, these horses get not only their rest time, which is certainly very important, but, you know, we're around them all the time. You know, we come in the morning and they're nickering to us. Those trail horses, you know, in the morning, they're at the gate, ready to come in and ready to, you know, to see our cast members. And sometimes when they're the ones left behind, they're wait a minute, we want to go out and work too. You know, I think they enjoy having a purpose and they enjoy the interaction with the cast members.
I agree on that too.
And everybody we talk to, this is interesting too, because it ties into one of our listener questions, is how do you get a job working with Disney horses, right? Everybody one of our teenage listeners is going, how do I work there? But what I found in almost everybody I talked to is you all started somewhere else in the park, and this is kind of a coveted thing that you have to kind of work into, is the horse side.
Well, we certainly do, you know, hire from what we call the outside, you know, people with horse experience. But it's a unique experience to come here and work at Disney, because it's not just working at a barn, it's working for a company, certainly. And it does help if you've worked someplace else and you kind of get the idea and the history, you know, that buy-in to who Walt Disney was and why we do what we do. You know, most of us, or actually all of us that work here, we have a love for this.
Well, you've been at the barns for how long?
About 12 years now. I've been with the company for just going on 20 years. But I'm really young, really.
And Carrie, how long have you been here?
I'm going on 19 years.
At the barn?
At the barn. And I came in from the barn from Michigan. Right. So our daughter worked down here years ago. She graduated and came down here and got a job. And my husband used to come down with his family and actually camp at Fort Wilderness. It was so bizarre. You'll find this out later.
Right.
So we come down here to visit our daughter, and Tennille, and we're walking through the Magic Kingdom, my first time, Mark's, you know, many times. And I remember thinking, wow, look at the people our age working here. Right. I mean, I wonder if we could do this, you know? It wasn't a year later, we just decided to give it a shot and come on down here and work for Disney and get into the horse barn. And so it's been like a dream come true for us, and we're not going to leave. I mean, this will be our last job. We'll retire from here, you know, and then probably come back part-time and, you know, as long as they'll have us. So,
you know, you've worked here for almost 20 years, and yet when we took that carriage ride, we all got to go on a carriage ride. Wendy and I didn't have to drive. It was so nice.
We were so happy.
We got to sit in the back for a change. But you were so enthusiastic, and to see that after 20 years in any employee, you were just bubbling over, and it was so cute and so cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I love what I do. I love the horses. Right. I love who they are, and I love what we bring out in them when we start training them and we get to know them. Like Robin was mentioned earlier, we get these horses from all over the country. We kind of handpick them. Robin and I are kind of like, we have the the privilege of doing this, mm-hmm. of being on the team to go out and pick out these horses. So when we go look for like our trail horses, we look for certain type of things. And then when we bring them home and we start bringing them into our program, it's so wonderful watching these guys evolve, right. and come out with what we thought, what we saw when we saw them at the farm, or, you know, and then watch them evolve in who they are and take our guests and drive our carriages and right. maybe become great hitch horses down the road. You know, it's just, it's fabulous
to
watch
when
this.
They realize that they're at Disney World, they must like, well, they're so excited.
We always say, we always feel bad for the ones we didn't buy,
right.
you know, because the ones that come here, they have a lifetime of care, right. love, appreciation. And that's a great thing. Yeah. And we go home at night feeling good about what we did.
Yeah.
There's a lot of horses at home right now filling out their resumes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Send them in.
If they could, they would. Trust me.
All right. Let's take a break. We have a commercial to do here. We have to welcome a brand new sponsor to the show. And we're so excited to have them on board. It's Ovation Riding Gear. And they're joining Horses in the Morning. And we do appreciate them. But first, right before Ovation, I have the only quote I could find in Walt's voice talking about horses. And this was talking about quarter horses, and he was introducing one of the movies from back in the 60s. I think it was the early 60s. So this is just about 20 seconds of Walt talking, so you get to hear his voice, and then we're going to hear from the good folks over at Ovation. We'll be right back in a couple minutes.
Next week, we'll tell you the story of the Horse of the West. Rugged, intelligent, and highly trained, the hardworking quarter horse has been and still is a prime factor in the growth of our great Western cattle empire. And his bloodlines are guarded as carefully as those of the most prized thoroughbred.
Well, I'm so excited on this International Podcast Day coming to you from Disney World that we are welcoming a new sponsor, you know, one of the leaders actually in the horse world, and that is Ovation line of products. And I have Amy from Ovation on here with me. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Glenn.
I am so glad you could join us, and I am so glad that we get to welcome you as a sponsor, especially on International Podcast Day.
Well, we're happy to be here, too. Thank you.
Well, now tell us a little bit about Ovation, about the company and the products.
Sure. Ovation offers high-quality products to every rider. From head to toe, we can outfit you. Whether you're in dressage, hunter jumper, eventing, we can outfit you completely with our breeches and our boots. Our helmets are very, very popular, as well as our Zoc line and show coats. And we don't forget about the horse either. We also have tack and saddles and everything that your horse needs to be decked out in Ovation as well.
And one of the things that I like about Ovation is they are very good, top quality products, but they're also affordable.
Very affordable. And that is always our mission with Ovation, to outfit you with what you need so you can do what you love doing and not break in the bank doing it.
What are the lead products for Ovation? What are the most popular products that they have?
Definitely our Ovation helmets. We have a very large range of helmets. Our most popular would be our Deluxe Schooler. And when I say that we can outfit any rider, the Deluxe Schooler is a perfect example of that. We have the Deluxe Schooler all the way down to a toddler size. So the little peanuts can be out there riding as well in their safety, you know, with the Ovation helmet. And we go from the schooler all the way up to a little higher end with some special details, some glitter and some bling, and some other more traditional styles. There's about 20 in the whole line. So there's lots to choose from. And, you know, they go down in price. I mean, our schoolers are like $54. So it's definitely affordable. It's a great product and definitely one of our best sellers.
And where do people buy the Ovation products? Do they buy directly from you or do they go to retailers?
They go to retailers. Ovation is exclusively distributed by English Riding Supply. However, we sell directly to our retailers. And you can go online at ovationriding.com and you can find a complete list of dealers online and tack shops that carry our product.
You have a map on your website that has about 1,000 little droplets on it. So there's a lot of retailers.
There's a lot of retailers. And they, again, they love the line too. It's a line that they can trust in their store. When somebody comes in and asks for an Ovation product, they can confidently sell them the product. So yeah, if you go onto the website and you look, you can put your zip code in there and it will tell you all the tax shops that are near you. And if there's, for some reason, not a tax shop near you, there's also places that you can buy online.
Very good. Well, we're looking forward to talking more about the products as the months go along. And again, we would like to welcome Ovation at OvationRiding.com as our newest sponsor here on the Horse Radio Network. Well, we're so excited about Ovation being a part of the show, and we're looking forward to working with them as we go along here. And we, of course, are coming to you from Disney today on International Podcasting Day. Welcome, everybody. If you're a first-time listener, we hope you stick with us. And if you get a chance, you know, podcasts, one of the wonderful things about podcasts is you can go back and listen to all the past episodes. Now, I calculated that out. We have 4,300 episodes that we've done on the Horse Radio Network, and if you listen 24 hours a day, it'll take you almost a year. So if you want to go back and listen, I recommend probably spreading that out a little. I don't want to listen to that much of me either. No. So we have Dr. Wendy Ying here with us, and we are talking to Carrie, who we have nicknamed the Little Boss. And we have a Robin here as well, who is the zoological manager. And we're talking a lot about the history of what goes on here. Now, Robin, you told us yesterday, and I love this saying, go ahead. What'd you tell us?
Well, you know, they always say it all started with a mouse, and we acknowledge that it did. But we like to say it all started with a horse.
Yeah, there we agree.
Because they say that Walt's first paying job ever was drawing his neighbor's horse, Rupert.
Oh, wow.
He was paid a nickel, and he did a sketch of Rupert for his neighbor.
Isn't there a copy of that in the museum down there?
There's a representation of what it would have looked like, or what you know we interpret that it was. Would have looked like, certainly.
I want to talk more about Walt and the history of the training and how the horses all started, because there's a very famous California trainer involved in all of this too. And we talked about this yesterday, and I think this is something the younger generations, I grew up in a generation where we watched Walt Disney doing the Sunday night, you know, and we saw him introducing all the movies and everything, but that's lost now. If you're under 40 years old, you know, everybody knows it's called Disney World, but I bet you there's some that doesn't even know there was a Walt Disney. It's kind of, Walt's kind of getting lost in the picture, and I think that's sad. And I don't know if I was supposed to say that today, but that's just, I want to talk about him because I don't want him to be lost in the picture.
Right. And, you know, we certainly don't want him to be lost either. And you're right. You know, we were very lucky in growing up that we all got to watch the wonderful World of Disney.
Sunday night. As a kid, you didn't miss that.
No.
And that was the one night we were allowed to stay up past like 8 o'clock to finish the movie.
I know. And I remember arguing with my parents. They would say, right when the movie was over, go to bed. And they'd be like, no, we need to watch the few scenes. We needed to see the few scenes of what was going to happen next
week.
Disney, because that came after the commercials. And you're right, the kids don't, you know, necessarily have that opportunity. But, you know, that's not what we as a company want to have happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, here at Disney World and, you know, some of our different properties, we do try to preserve the history, and I'm sure we'll continue to do that, you know, by offering various tours and things, and tours through our barn, which we do offer, and you know, just try to make sure that it does live on, and that people know that there was a man behind all of this.
And there was two men actually out in California when all the animals were brought in to start the Disneyland. Tell us about the other one.
Right, you know, Walt was, you know, always, you know, he was the passion, the idea man behind everything, but he also was, you know, very passionate about the people that worked with him, and, you know, very close to them. And he always said that it takes people to make this dream a reality. Right. And he understood that. And, you know, he, A friend of his had seen a man by the name of Owen Pope, and Owen was performing with his six little pony hitch. He would travel around the West California, all through the state of California with this little six pony hitch. And one of his
colleagues...
He
was pulling like little beer wagon
like
type
little
things.
Show wagons that would have advertisements of different things. And, you know, he also had a trailer business. He kind of...
He made horse trailers?
He made horse trailers. He was a welder by trade, and that was just one of the things that he did. It was Pope Trailers, and he kind of mastered this bumper pull technology. And so he was using the pony hitch, going to these different rodeos and state fairs and parades, these kind of hometown parades, kind of promoting that. And a colleague of Walt's saw them performing and told Walt that he needed to go and see this guy, that this is what he thought Walt had in mind for, at that time, this park that he was planning. So Walt went and saw Owen perform with his ponies, and shortly after got in contact with Owen and his wife, Dolly, to see if they would come to California and start the horse program at his park,
right,
which of course later we know became Disneyland. And Owen and Dolly accepted the invite, and they came and they lived on the back lot of the studio in Burbank,
because originally
that's where the park was going to be, on a parcel of land close to the studio. Walt's ideas quickly outgrew that parcel of land, and they moved out to Anaheim. But that's what Owen was tasked to do.
And he was pretty well known in that area as a trainer and a horse person. And I know that because I've heard his name before.
He was. Yeah. He certainly was.
But it was his wife was involved, too.
His wife was involved. You know, behind every good man is a good woman.
Because every picture you showed us was the couple, was the both of them.
It was always Owen and Dolly Pope. Yeah.
Well, it was six ponies. Come on.
You need help.
Yeah. I think Dolly kept them in line. You know, they...
And now he actually came out here to Disney World, too, right?
He did. You know, he was asked to come out by actually Roy, you know, if he did such a good job starting, you know, the horses and the horse program in California. There was nobody else they could think to ask to come out here. So they asked Owen and Dolly if they would come out and start the horse program. And at that time was their dream of starting Walt Disney World, and they accepted.
Now, when we were at the World Percheron Congress last year, which was a whole lot of fun, and one of the things we saw in the museum, and we had heard this when we were out touring Disneyland, the stables out there at Disneyland, was that they actually showed the Percheron hitches at one time in shows. They took them out, right? You were telling us about that, too.
They did. They used to go all over the country and compete, and the year that they retired, they were like the world champions, and so that's when you quit.
Right.
So nobody beats you.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's when you retire your hitch and you say, we're done. All right.
I used to do eights, right?
Eight. Yeah. The most we've done in the last few years has just been the six. But yeah, we have gone out with eight.
Do you drive the sixes?
I do.
That's a lot of reins.
There is a lot. Yeah, there is. Yeah, but they're all really good. By the time we're competing with these guys, they are so good.
Right.
And they're so responsive. And we know them so well. We know where we want to put them. I remember when Mark came up and asked me, Gary, we need you to drive the Citrus Bowl Parade. I says, okay, very good. He says, do you have a lineup of who you'd like to use? Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I just... you know, named off six horses where I was going to put them. And, you know, and he goes, oh, okay. He says, okay.
Right. You know who you need as leaders and who you need as the wheelers.
The wheelers and the swing. We knew exactly where I was going to put everybody and why.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what they want to hear, you know, a little theory behind what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Right. How long does it take one of your Percherons or draft horses of any breed to, before they would, let's say, be safe enough to go down Main Street?
Well, again, you
it
know,
depends on the as, horse. I understand
yeah, it does.
That.
It's as you know, horse people. We all know that you can't really put a time frame on it. Mm-hmm. You know, because sometimes when we buy these horses, we're not raising them. We usually buy them 3-4 years of age. So what we usually find out once we do purchase these horses is sometimes there's some sort of background that we've got to kind of work through.
Oh, we all know about the horses that we bought.
Yeah, we always say that he's a clean slate.
Well, there's not really.
We've only had two with the clean slate that I know of, and that's been Jacob and Skyler, because we raised them as babies.
Right.
So they were actually probably one of our most, I don't want to say easiest, because maybe that's not quite the word I want to say, but because they had a clean slate and we knew them and we started them as babies, hooking them, training them, and getting going down the road was probably one of the most smoothest sailing operations we've done in a long time, you know.
It just takes time for them to grow up.
Yeah, it's it. Yeah.
That's why we don't do it.
Yeah, Skylar's 5 years old, you know. So 5 years we've had him before we feel like, okay, now he can do wagon rides, you know.
All right, I'm going to tease the audience again. We're going to talk about Jacob in a minute because, well, we're going to tease. We're going to wait on that for a little bit yet.
He's
because,
close to my heart.
Oh, yeah. Ours too after last night.
Yes.
So.
He's pretty special.
Yeah, we'll talk about Jacob in a second because, whew. But, you know, one of the things too that, you talked about was in the original Disneyland, they actually had a mule train. Tell us about that.
They did. You know, part of when they opened Disneyland, they had over 250 animals on property, everything from, you know, carriage horses to ponies, but they also had mules because Frontierland was supposed to depict the old frontier.
Because Walt loved Western everything.
He loved everything Western. Yeah. He loved it. And that was a land that was, I think all of them were dear to his heart in one way or the other, certainly. But, you know, that was very much who he was. And so they had a mule train ride where those mules were tied nose to tail. And there was mule skinner in the front and one in the back. And they would take them up through the hills of Frontierland.
There's a term that you don't hear very often anymore either, mule skinner. Some people are going, they skinned the mules. No, that's not what that means. They were the guides.
They were the guides. Exactly. Thank you for clarifying that.
It's not a term you hear anymore.
It isn't. Yeah. No, but that was what their title was. And they would take those mules, like I said, through the hills, and it was
scenery,
an attraction,
you know, to ride.
And probably a little safer than that ride down the Grand Canyon, which
probably,
I'm not doing.
But it's so fun to see those old photographs, you know, that people still have in their archives and will share with us and send us. They'll be going through their old pictures and they're like, oh my goodness, this is us at Disneyland on the horses, on the Conestoga wagons, on the, they had Conestoga wagons,
and stage
they had
coaches.
Yosemite wagons, they had stage coaches that guests could ride in.
So this they was before pile, they had the rides that we see now, they had equestrian rides.
They did, you know, and eventually those cycled out because for a lot of different reasons they did, as other rides and new technology became a little bit more exciting and taking care of 250 head of horses and mules is a lot, and ride capacity, you know, they can only carry so many people. But
well, for our driving audience, and this fascinated Wendy and I yesterday, is the fact that they made the harness and tell us about that.
They did.
And and the stagecoach.
Owen was incredibly
talented.
This
is Owen Pope again.
Owen Pope again. You know, he was tasked not only to buy all of those animals and hire all of those incredible people that, you know, were driving those stagecoaches and, you know, taking the mule rides out, he was tasked with making the equipment. So he made and oversaw the actual harness making and the carriages. He had his hand in, along with the Imagineers who helped out, making those ride vehicles.
It makes sense, though, you know, because it's a movie company.
So, I mean, they had wheelwrights that were there making these wheels.
Like to see the number of people that go into making a movie, the prop guys and all that. So, I mean, it makes sense that they do that, but it just seems like an overwhelming task.
Especially making the harness. I mean, that's an art in itself.
It is. Yeah. And they had beautiful harness, you know, and you have to remember Owen was hired several years before the park opened, actually, to start this whole project.
Yeah, it would take a long
time. We always like to say
it
not only started with a horse, but Owen probably was one of the first people hired specifically for the park.
Right. Can you tell us a little bit about the 5/8 scale concept?
Well, yeah, you know, everything, you know, it in the park is kind of a 5/8 scale. It's made to, when you go in, that you look a little bit bigger, everything's a little bit smaller. And that's what, when Owen was showing his ponies, that was what first, inspired them to ask him to come. They were interested in those little ponies, that size, to be part of the park. They thought that would work good. Right. You know, movie sets are always a little bit smaller. And when they got the ponies there, they realized the ponies actually were too small.
Yeah.
For the stagecoach.
So we actually used draft horses.
Went completely the other direction.
Completely opposite direction.
It was funny seeing those pictures, though, because you see all the little ponies lined up in the stagecoach. It was cute.
And Owen did make a stagecoach. We did have stagecoaches mm-hmm. for those ponies for a long time. And we have actual photos of Walt on the back lot of the studios with some of his probably, you know, his staff that worked in the studio at that time.
That's very cool. Well, we're going to take a break for a song. And then when we come back, we're going to talk, we're going to answer a couple more listener questions. And then we're going to talk about our favorite horse from yesterday, who everybody that comes here wants to take home with them. But you better have a big trailer if you're going to do that. Right after our song, too, we're going to, I have a special song for you. I thought we're in the happiest place on earth, right? So we have our friend Fleur Magali, who is out of Switzerland, who's a horse girl over there. And she did a version of Pharrell's Happy. And I thought, well, that has to be a perfect song for today. And then right after that, you're going to hear an interview I did right after the song with Rhonda, who's out of Canada. And I think she's listening right now because I saw her pipe in over there. Rhonda is our legacy listener, our only one that we think we have left now. And believe me, I haven't even done this and I own the place, who has listened to all 4,300 episodes that we have done from day one, 8 years ago. She has listened to every episode of every show, whether she's interested in that topic or not. And God bless you, Rhonda, because as I said, I haven't listened to every episode of every show. She's, a, by the way, guys, a huge Disney fan. She's a DVC member. She comes down here. Well, she just posted over there that she's going to be here in 45 days.
Yay, Rhonda.
She's coming down. What are the lights called over at Universal?
The Osborne Family Lights.
Yes, at the studio, sorry. And the Osborne Family... Wrong park.
Hollywood Studios.
Sorry about that. I got demerits for that. But the Osborne Family Lights, we've come every year, and they're over there at the studios, and I think it's the last year.
It is the last year, yeah.
They're going to move them someplace. They'll be up somewhere I think, because 6 million lights, they got to move them somewhere. But she's coming down from Canada just because it's the last year for that, and she wants to see it, and that's how dedicated she is. They just got back from their trip to Disneyland, too. So huge fans of Disney and huge fans of the Horse Radio Network, and I did a little interview with Rhonda in honor of International Podcast Day. So let's take a listen to all of that, and then we'll be back with more here from Disney World. Dr. Rose's Remedies Skin Treatment Salve and Spray are 100% all-natural products. They are anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, antiviral, and antifungal. Dr. Rose's are made with all human-grade ingredients and are safe and effective for treatment for all manner of cuts and scrapes on your horse. And Dr. Rose's is the must-have product here at the Horse Radio Network headquarters to keep PT Scooter's delicate white pasterns free from dew poisoning and scratches. Ask for Dr. Rose's at your local tax store or feed supplier, or visit them online at drrosesremedies.com. That's drrosesremedies.com.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine, she's here, you can take a break. I'm a hot air balloon that could go to space with the air like I don't care, baby, by the way. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do. Bring me down, can nothing bring me down? Your love is too high. Bring me down, happy, can nothing happy, bring me down? I said, bring me down, can nothing bring me down? Your love is too happy, happy, bring happy, me down, happy, can nothing happy, bring me down? I said, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Cause I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like that's what you wanna do.
Hi, Glenda Geek here with a very short segment for you in honor of International Podcast Day on Wednesday, September the 30th. You can find out all the details about International Podcast Day at internationalpodcastday.com. It's a day when we encourage you to go on to all your social media, your Twitters and your Facebooks, and post that you love podcasts. Tell all your friends about the Horse Radio Network and the other shows that you listen to. That's what International Podcast Day is all about, and we're extending it to the whole week. So just go on, hop on there, and put a link to our shows. We would appreciate the support. And we have with me today our, as far as we know, only legacy listener left, and that is Rhonda out of Canada. What that means is Rhonda has listened to every episode that we've done, which is now probably approaching 4,300 episodes, since day one. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being our legacy listener and for hanging in there all these years.
Well, thank you for putting out such great shows to listen to.
And I have not even listened to all the episodes. So you're the only one, literally, I think.
I'm the only one.
That's right. And there are some listeners who do not believe that you have done this, but I happen to know that you have because you comment almost every week. You get in touch with me and comment about a couple of the episodes. So
Yeah, that's true.
So I kind of, I will vouch for Rhonda. And besides, Canadians don't lie.
Yeah, they never lie.
No, they never lie. So now, why did you start listening to podcasts in the first place, even before HRN? Or was HRN your first?
It wasn't my first. WDW Today was my first. And we started listening to that. I think we'd been on a trip to Disney World in 2007, and we came home and were missing the world, so we started listening to the podcasts, and then I started listening to you, I think it was about 2008, because because an email came from the 2010 WEG emails, and at the bottom was a little link to your 2010 podcast. So I saw that link and went, oh, there's a horse podcast, because I think I typed horse into iTunes or whatever a few times and never come up with anything.
There were a couple of podcasts that had come and gone, like had done a couple episodes and then quit about horses when we started, but nobody that, you know, was really sticking with it or trying to go big with it.
Right.
So you were at the very first episode of Stable Scoop back in 2008. And then we did the 2010 radio show was the next one to come along, and then all the others after that. Why do you like podcasts? What's the thing that drives you to listen to them? And I know we're not the only ones you listen to.
I think it's just like learning things about things that I like. I don't know, listening to music over and over is just kind of, it's fun. There's nothing wrong with listening to music, but I'd rather learn something and, you know, sort of feel engaged when I'm driving and walking the dogs. And
so the on-demand part of it is also important.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, yeah. And you're a rider, but I would say that you're probably like kind of our average listener in that you're not a high-level competitor. You have a horse, you ride, you have a horse husband, you have dogs, and you just love horses. And I think that kind of puts you in there with 99% of our audience.
Yep. I think I'm probably just like everybody else for the most part.
How do you listen to the shows now?
They go onto my iTunes.
Okay.
My husband plugs in my iPod every night, and then he brings it up in the morning, and there's more shows on it.
Well, anybody that's new to listening, you can also listen. You can listen on iTunes. There's a ton of different podcast players. I actually use one called Pocket Casts. It's an app for your phone where I listen to all my podcasts. And, of course, the Horse Radio Network app is free, and it's easy in iOS or Android. You can do either with that. Well, Rhonda, we certainly do appreciate you being an auditor and also being a legacy listener. And thank you for listening all of these years. We really appreciate your support, and it's been fun to meet you. And I also appreciate personally your input, because anytime I need to ask a question about a show, I know Rhonda's listened.
Yeah, that's true.
So I can
always ask.
That's right. I always ask her about it, and it's great. So if you like the shows, head on over to Facebook or Twitter, post on there, you know, that you like them, post a link to our shows or to the app or something, and we would be thrilled for your support. And thank you so much, Rhonda, for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Rhonda. We're back, and we are coming to you live from Disney World. I have Dr. Wendy Ying of the Driving Radio Show, and welcome all of our driving fans, too, because we're putting this episode out as your show this week. And so, because we're talking a lot about driving today, right, we figured that that would be cool. And of course, we're brought to you today by Ovation Riding Gear. You can find all of their terrific products at ovationriding.com. All right, we've been teasing it the whole show. Carrie, let's talk about what had to be our favorite horse of the day yesterday. And there's 90 horses here. We saw most of them. So tell us about our favorite horse.
Oh, it's Jacob.
Jacob.
Oh, my goodness. My heart's smiling. We've had Jacob in our herd for almost seven years mm-hmm. now. And he's amazing. He's a black Clydesdale.
19 and a half hands.
An honest 19 and
yes.
a half.
Yeah, he
is. Yes, honest. Sure. It's not like that fish was so
no.
big. He has honest 19 and a half hands. And like even to throw a simple harness on him, it's with the mounting block, you know, for the right. perfect fit.
His and collar is probably huge.
It is huge.
If he puts his head up when you're going to put his bridle on, you're not getting it on.
Well, he does it. We'll do the head down cue. He'll bring his head down so it's at our waist level.
Right.
And then we can
so
bridle
glad
him.
I'm so glad you do the heady down.
Yes.
I have to do that too, because
yes.
I'm only 5'3".
Well, he leads that way as well, too, because if he had his head up, the only way you could look around him is by looking underneath of him.
Well, you'd need a 10-foot lead.
Yeah, exactly. So when he leads, even, he has his head down, mm-hmm. so you can look over him instead of under or around
That's
him.
So funny.
But he's an amazing animal. He does a lot of our special events for us. He does our weddings here mm-hmm. for our fairy tale weddings.
Well, not only that, he's a princess's horse.
Oh, Meredith's horse.
He's Meredith's
yes.
horse.
Yes,
yeah.
yes. And he was involved in her. He was with her coronation over at Magic Kingdom when she became a princess. And you could see him on YouTube, and you can see how amazing he is and how he tolerates everything at the Magic Kingdom. And he's just as kind.
Picture that must have been with Meredith's beautiful
it's
red hair and his
It's amazing.
Tail.
And she had her bow and arrow with her.
Right.
And it was just amazing to see him interact with her as well.
Yeah.
And he likes what he does. And he's just been a blessing for us to have at the ranch.
Right.
And guests come in to see him and they'll say, I hear we have Angus here. we go, absolutely. We have to bring him out to the rope. He does mm-hmm. meet and greets. And they're all amazing.
Angus
size.
Is cool too.
Yeah,
and
he has yeah. such presence.
He does. He does. He just demands it. By
yeah.
You pull him out of stall, you go, oh my. You know, he's one
yeah.
of those breathtaking animals. Personality-wise, soul, heart, everything.
He's sweet.
By the way, Jacob's feet are about the size of pie plates. I mean, his feet are
what
huge.
What size shoe does he wear?
He wears
he must
probably
wear a seven.
Seven or eight. His bit must be a seven or eight, too. It's huge. He's a huge boy. His lips are so cute. He has the best lips. They're all flappy.
Very flappy.
As you can see, I really liked him.
Oh, I know. He's the favorite. Like I said, of like over 90-some horses. I mean, he's the one everybody knows.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, guys? I hate to tell you this, but, you know, he's seven now, but the way his body looks, we were talking about it last night, he's not done growing.
No, that's what we were saying, too.
He is going to fill out yet, and, you know, he hasn't filled out. He still has his sort of, his thin body, you know, his growing body, but, you know, when the draft horses fill out, he's going to look extra enormous
yeah.
then.
Yeah.
I know, Robin, you were a little worried about that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like he's going to
even load them
huge.
In the horse trailer. It's like, okay, we're going to make
yeah,
it in there.
Yeah, tilting to one side.
Yeah.
Like, What is amazing in that little spiel that they do in the museum, 2,400 pounds of hay and grain a day for these horses.
Wow.
That's just unbelievable. That's just unbelievable. And what was so cool is on you had little stall cards for everybody, and it says exactly what they eat. It was all very clear. And the public can see that, too, which was kind of neat.
It is fun because you have to remember we have so many people that come in the barn that don't know about horses. And I always have to laugh. We have some of them that get a specific type of hay, and it'll say Timothy only.
Right.
And they're like, what does that mean? You know, we know, and that reminds us, and it gives us an opportunity to help teach and tell people about our horses and what they eat. And
as a horse husband, your bedding would drive me crazy because you use the big shavings.
I love the big flakes.
I can't do the big flakes. It's too hard to sift through.
Yeah.
That's a horse husband talking right there. But see, you have magical Disney helpers, the cast members, to do that. So it's perfect.
We have an amazing team that goes through and, you know, they do all that hard work. You know, here in Florida, it's tough. It's 100 degrees in the summertime and these guys are out there. Our barn is, what, 38 stall barn. It gets cleaned, you know, in the morning. We go through and we clean the entire thing. And then throughout the day, they go through and do picks and things like that.
And we're talking draft horses. They poop big.
They do. And so that's a lot of horse manure.
Yeah, it is.
And that's only one location. That's true. Deal with.
They pee on command. Do they poop on command too?
I wish.
In the corners.
It's always, it's always nice on your carriage horse because, you know, we wear the bags on the back.
They wear the diapers.
The diaper bags. Yeah. And we're always so pleased when we say, oh, he only goes like twice a night. We're like, yes, that's one of our, you know, that's perfect. And the others, they go after every ride. So after every ride, we have to dump it, you know, take that couple seconds. But it's always nice when you only have a couple individuals that are very selective when they go.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Horses are so funny that way. Well, now tell us, okay, so to wrap up here, tell us, to give all the listeners that didn't know that they could come do all of this stuff, the rundown for them.
So again, we're located at one of the resorts at Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. And we do trail rides here. We have 5 trail rides a day. Mm-hmm. Our first one leaves at 8:30 and our last one leaves at 2:30 in the afternoon. And it's a guided trail ride through the woods. Mm-hmm. And you can make a reservation to do that through WDW Play. And we take all levels of riding, but it is just a
Hey, they took Kyle and I, so
Kyle and Glenn can do it. Anybody can do
if
it.
You can't ride a Disney horse, you can't ride.
And you know, if you are a rider, it's a fun trail ride to do with your family members that aren't necessarily riders.
Right, yeah.
It's a great opportunity to get out there and talk to our cast, and you might get to ride that special celebrity.
Oh yeah.
We also do carriage rides. We have carriage rides here at the campground, so it's kind of a wilderness feel, and also over at Port Orleans.
Oh, fun.
Yes. So it's
and if you're here around Christmas time and you do the carriage ride at Christmas time, because the campers here go crazy decorating.
They do, but we have sleigh rides.
Oh, do you?
Christmas time.
Fun.
You know, we bring out those magical Disney sleighs. Mm-hmm.
They float.
They do. And, you know, we have jingle bells and it gets a little chilly here in the wintertime. So for us, it does feel like winter. And you get an opportunity. We have blankets and jingle bells and sleighs. And you go out and see.
For those of us that live in Florida, 50 degrees is winter.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's 70 and we got 2 layers on.
And everybody decorates. And it's like the old days, you know, when you drive through the neighborhoods.
Oh, the campgrounds is beautiful here at Christmas. That's a hidden gem that people don't know about.
It is.
Because the campers take pride in that too.
They do. Of course, our horses are part of the Christmas parades, and so on Christmas morning you can turn on the TV and hopefully have an opportunity to see the princesses.
Okay, can we talk
horses.
To the production people about cutting the horses out of the TV coverage? I'm saying that. You don't have to, Robin. I am saying, please show the horses in the TV coverage.
So Christmas morning, the parade goes through the park?
It does. It goes through the Magic Kingdom.
So
depending on what princesses are available that morning, we'll be who they're going to showcase.
You might get to see Jacob, maybe?
Yeah.
If Merida's there.
Jacob and Merida's been probably the last 2 or 3 parades that we've had Christmas time.
And the other thing that we do that, you know, I just love is the pony rides for the children, the little cowboys and cowgirls that get to come and have their first pony ride.
Right.
And
because that's how we all got started, really, right?
It is.
Somebody gave us a pony ride.
Somebody gave us a pony ride.
Or gave us that pony that was a troublemaker.
We all had one of those.
Yes. That's how you learn to stay on.
Yeah. So the children have to be 2 years old in order to ride and hold on themselves. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we have those that are younger and we'll let them sit on the pony and get that first pony picture.
Oh,
we will
nice.
Never leave anybody out. And we have hay wagon rides or wagon rides.
Yeah.
In case you're allergic to hay, there's no hay on it. But we have teams of horses that pull that. It leaves twice a night from Fort Wilderness.
And those go around the campground?
They do. They go around the campground. Okay. It's about a 25-minute ride.
Like we did? Yep. Similar? Okay. Yep.
Except for that one holds, it can hold up to 35 people. So
yeah, that was
it's
that
kind of
long
a
wagon.
First come, first serve
okay.
type thing.
And there's another thing along that ride last night we did. What horse were we driving last night?
We had JB.
JB. So there are very few driving horses would put up with the blow-up big balloon things that people have at their campsites of dragons and all this stuff and you know, Mickeys and stuff. My pony would be gone with that thing flapping around. And yours didn't even look at them.
No, they're so desensitized. They got such a foundation put onto them that by the time they get to that level where they are taking guests when the carriage is, that piece is already taken care of.
Right.
So that's never a training issue when we get out there.
Because Scooter would set a land speed record heading for the gate.
Yeah. And it's always funny to listen to the radios. Come Halloween and Christmas, they'll be the drivers will be talking to one another. Mm-hmm. Oh, in the 300 loop, there's a headless horse.
Yeah.
Fire coming out.
300 loop, they have launching spiders.
Right. That's hard for some horses when it changes all the time.
Well, it's not just for the horses, it's for the drivers. The launching spider, that came out like 10, 15 feet,
oh,
and it was
God.
Like in midair. And so it caught me off guard, and I screamed, you know, and jumped. My horses didn't, but I did.
It's nice to have that heads up.
So. Right. Yeah. If I would have known that, I would probably have not gone through the 300 loop.
Campers take Christmas and Halloween very seriously.
They do. They're incredible. Right? Yeah. Incredible.
And it's a thing. It actually, it's part of that culture now that to come to Fort Wilderness, you have to bring your decorations. It's become a thing.
Oh, yeah. If you don't, they'll go out to the store and get them.
Yeah.
You know, like if it's new campers, like they've never camped before and they just come to Fort Wilderness and they're the only camp site within 10 that doesn't have a decoration.
Oh, they have to go out.
They will go find something because it's like they want to be involved.
Their ideas are bigger than their campsites.
Yes.
They've had to reel them in. These people are incredibly creative, so we've had to kind of reel them in a little bit.
We camped here with my parents. I was little. I was probably 10 years old, and we camped here in 1973 or 1974. So it was right after the campground first opened. River Country was here because we got to go at River Country. And only a few of the hotels were built then along the lake. And it was Magic Kingdom. And that was it. And I remember taking the boat over. I have fond memories of this. I will never forget it. My little brother, who was about 8. So we were 10 and 8. This would never happen today. And we were at Magic Kingdom and we wanted to stay later than our parents. And they took the boat back and left us there because in those days you did that, you know, with your kids. We were there till like 2 a.m. when it closed. I think our parents were about ready to send the police over to the park, and we took the last boat back, and they were so mad at us. And again, that would never happen today, but I remember that to this day. It's one of my very few memories of that age is being here at Fort Wilderness and camping and doing the boat rides. So, yeah. So that's what this park is all about, is the memories.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. We have so many people that, you know, have been bringing their families here and coming into the barn since it opened.
Well, it was Gail yesterday who said that her mother worked for Disney and then she came to work?
Yes.
Her mother worked here for like 27 years and now she's been here for like 20 years. It's a family business.
Yes.
Yeah. That's so cool too that happens. So what else did you want to cover there? Anything?
What about the adoption?
Oh, yes. Let's talk about that. That's been a question 100 listeners have asked now. What happens to the Disney horses after they retire?
We, you know, we have an adoption program that we're very proud of. You know, we would love to keep our horses here forever. But, you know, when we decide that, you know, maybe it's time for them, they've done their service.
Right.
And even though they have the best home ever, we do have an adoption program. And sometimes for medical reasons, they'll have to go or, you know, they...
And even Disney horses get old at some point.
They do. They start age. To age. Yeah. And so there'll be a certain age sometimes.
If you can fix that, let me know. I'm moving here.
So we do have an adoption program. So they're more than welcome to get on our websites or to give us a call out here if they stop by the barn to pick up an adoption form.
Rhonda, who is our legacy listener, just typed that she'll be visiting you guys when she comes down in 45 days. She's going to come over and say hi.
Well, Rhonda, you have to look at the cute ponies for adoption when you come down here.
So, you know, we have a great adoption program. We have great people that have adopted our horses over the years.
You have pictures of them on your desk.
We do. Many of them keep in touch. They'll send us Christmas cards and videos of their children. We've got a couple of ponies that we adopted out to this young family, and already that pony has gone through, I think she's on her fourth child now that they've taught to ride.
And ponies just, love that. Ponies love to have kids.
They do. And we just, oh my gosh, the videos are just adorable. We had one little Cinderella pony that they sent me a picture of, and they had painted him. You know, the little girl had a party, and he was painted all blue and pink and purple. You know,
and isn't that every kid's dream to have one of Cinderella's ponies? That's exciting.
So well, I think that's about it. I think we've covered a lot of different stuff here on the show today. We can't thank you guys enough. We felt so special yesterday coming here and getting to do all the things that we did. Mm-hmm. And we're not done today. We're going to take the boat and we're going to go over. They've never seen the they've never seen the lodge, so we're going to head over to Wilderness. They've never seen that. They have to see that. And we're going to eat Whispering Canyon, and we're going to have them ask for ketchup.
Oh, okay.
Okay, they don't know that story yet, but we're going to do that. So we're going to do that. They need to experience that once.
Do we need a change of clothes?
Well,
you never know. They're kind of crazy over there.
They are.
So thank you so much for everything. It's Disney.com where they can get information on the trail rides and everything.
It is, definitely. Now, WDW Play is where they can make reservations to do our carriage rides.
And you recommend reservations.
I do, but you know, if at the spur of the moment you decide you want to do a carriage ride or a trail ride, please just stop by. Many times we have openings or at least can chat with you. And stop by the barn. We are here to show off what is Disney, and we love to show off our horses and ponies. So stop by the barn. There's always somebody there that's more than happy to get a horse or a pony out that you can
and say you heard it on the Horse Radio Network.
Definitely
tell them that. Yes, they'd like to hear that too. Well, Carrie and Robin, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. It's been a pleasure.
It was a pleasure for us.
It was fun.
It's cool. Well, we'll be back here. What day of the week is this? This is Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow with our Australian episode. So all Australian guests on the show tomorrow. So we're going to be switching gears a little bit. And then Friday, don't forget Friday's Really Bad Ads Day. Get your ads in. And
oh, my favorite.
Yeah, everybody's favorite. We have double the number of listeners on Fridays than any other day because we do really bad ads. So if you go to Craigslist and you find some really bad written ads about horses for sale or carriages or anything in the farm department, send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Put really bad ads in the subject line. And I think this week's the week. Yes, it is equitymfg.com, Flex and Fork Day. And I actually saw some Flex and Forks out at Animal Kingdom being used. So they were spotted in the wild over at Animal Kingdom. We are giving away.
It's not just for horse poop.
It's not just for horse poop. They were using it for very large poop over there. So you can win one this week. Everybody that submits an ad this month will be eligible to win a Flex and Fork, and we'll do that drawing on Friday. So get your entries in before the end of the day on Thursday. And Jamie will be back to tell us more stories about all of her adopted critters that are having troubles right now. So that'll happen on Friday as well. Thank you, Dr. Wendy.
Thanks for having me.
Thank
you. Keep the shiny side up.
Keep the shiny side up. That's a saying that Carrie knows exactly what that means. See you, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.